Hey there, thanks for pressing play on this episode of the Read Classical podcast. I just want to come up front and just say, content warning, we're going to be talking about some heavy topics, so just want to put that out there. You probably saw from the title that we're going to be talking about some artists who have done some bad things, so just keep a mind out, you probably have an idea of who I'm going to talk about, so we'll get into that. Other programming note is I have been gone for a little bit because my previous laptop died. If you listened to the previous episode of the Read Classical podcast, the audio was kind of crackling, and that was just my laptop getting a bit old. But as a result, like, the laptop died, and I haven't gone through to get rebooted and get all my files back. Because of that, we don't have a theme music for this episode. We don't have like all the same cover arts that we had for previous episodes. So we're going to be doing things kind of do-it-yourself DIY and taking it from there. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. And I have to just kind of beatbox the intro music. So here goes, like, I already screwed up. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Read Classical podcast. And after a number of sports specific episodes, we're actually going to talk about music on this music podcast. And to start things out, I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite albums that I heard this year. And to introduce it, the album is called Ugly, which means you gotta love yourself. It is by Slow Tie, a British rapper. And I really loved this record because it was like a very cathartic emotional journey. You know me, I'm always thinking of what my album of the year list is going to look like at the end of the year. And this was like a super powerful emotional journey, and it was sonically really cool and things like that. And it really made my list pretty easy. Like, it was, for most of the year, it's been the clear-cut number one album of the year on my personal list, and that's something that I value a lot. And so it was my number one overall album until I found out that the artist was a rapist. And yeah, it's really unfortunately shocking and sad that Slow Tie, the rapper who made this album, is he's been arrested on two counts of rape by the British court. And it's really gross and unsettling. And because of this, that this is no longer my album of the year. And it opens up a conversation of what this episode is about, which is the idea of art and artist, and the idea of whether or not you can separate the two, and whether it should affect your enjoyment of the music. Now, the idea of separating art from artists is a tale as old as time. You know, John Lennon had domestic violence charges or allegations. There's been a lot of crappy people who made a lot of great music, unfortunately. And there's a huge conundrum of how we should treat their art. When is it okay to like it, or should we cancel them and not like it altogether? Because if we boycott the music, or if we listen to the music, then we are supporting the person and, in effect, perhaps supporting their actions of a really bad person and promoting them. And personally, I don't have a set policy on this. I think it is a very case-by-case basis. And personally, I feel like it's a personal choice depending on who you ask. I think you're allowed to like what you like, and I don't have a problem if you like music from a certain artist, I think you just implicitly like that. Now, we're going to explore that idea and explore those questions in the next couple minutes as we go through this. So to start out, let's talk about the Slow Tie album that I've been talking about. As I described, the album is a very compelling emotional journey. He was very vulnerable, and I thought that vulnerability was compelling and cathartic when he has a emotional breakthrough at the end of the record. And because of that, I feel like you have to really buy in to the music and buy into the story. And as a result, with these rapist allegations, I don't buy into the story. I've re-listened to it, and while there are still songs I like, it's really hard to enjoy it nearly as much because I know this guy is kind of a shitty person, and I don't really have much sympathy for the pain that he expresses on it. And you'll notice that most of the conversation is going to center around my consumption of the music. Maybe that sounds a little cold or calculated, and you might be right. I am only going to talk about my personal consumption and my relationship to it, not actually talking about the artists, whether they're right or wrong, and obviously wrong in this situation. So that was a case, I bring up this example because it's a case where you have to really kind of buy into the artist to enjoy the music. I think a interesting counterexample would be a song like, or an artist like R. Kelly, specifically if you like the song Remix to Ignition. Like, it's Remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out of the kitchen, like that song. And the reason I think it's a different example, even though R. Kelly has been accused and convicted and is currently serving time for starting a sex cult. But I find it easier to like Remix to Ignition because it's just very like a standalone song. It's just kind of a song you play at a party. And that's what I've always associated it with. I haven't really thought much of the artist R. Kelly. But it does taint, it might taint your enjoyment a little bit knowing that R. Kelly is a convicted sex offender. I think it's perhaps a little easier to separate art from artists if you choose to do so in this situation. Again, that's whether it's easy or hard to separate art from artists. There's a whole other question of whether you should separate art from artists. And I think it's a very case-by-case thing. I don't know what the answer is particularly. I think we all have this sort of weird, inconsistent formula that is based on how much we like a person, how much we were offended by their actions, etc. A whole multitude of factors that, and that equation is a bit different for each person. And so I'm going to bring up my third example, which is Kanye West, or Ye, as his legal government name is currently. Kanye West has done a lot, has said a lot of really hurtful things to Black people, hurtful things to Jewish people, most lately. And you might actually be most offended of the hurtful things he said to Taylor Swift. That's kind of how weird maybe our minds are calculating this information. And in preparation of this episode, I did a little bit of a sniff test. I re-listened to Kanye West's Graduation, his 2008 album. I still really much enjoyed it a lot. So in terms of whether or not it's affecting my enjoyment of the music, it does a little bit. I think he's kind of an asshole, and he said some really hurtful things. But I still kind of enjoy the music, even though I don't have much justification for it. Actually, my justification is I think it's easy to say, like, I enjoy this music, but I do not endorse these politics. I do not endorse the hateful stuff he has said about Jewish people and black people in the past, or hurtful stuff he said about black people in the past. Now, would I be making this case if he was Tyga, whose music I do not enjoy? Maybe not. I probably wouldn't care, and it'd be a lot easier to shut off that particular faucet. So that's another part of the weird kind of messed up equation in our head on whether we do separate art from artists. Also, if you want to get cynical about it, I am not Jewish, and perhaps I am less offended because of that. It probably hits a little bit different if you are the person that is aggrieved by said statements. While I do believe these statements are very hurtful to Jewish people and should not be condoned, maybe it doesn't hurt as bad because I am not that particular demographic. And that leads us to our fourth and final example, which is an example where my particular demographic was called out, and it did hit a bit different. I was pretty much offended. And that is the rapper, Chicago rapper, No Name. To give a little bit of context, No Name, I believe in 2016, had her debut album, Telephone, which, if you're not aware of it, it's this very, like, sad, very emotional record. And for me, it was my favorite album in college, full stop. I was kind of going through some emotions of growing up and reaching adulthood and really not knowing what to do with my life. And this album just really resonated with me. It was like a little comfort blanket. I really enjoyed No Name's music, and she was one of my favorite artists. I, in fact, went to one of her concerts and bought her record and the whole nine yards. And after I went to her concert, it came out she had some statements that were, in my mind, kind of hurtful. She said that she did not enjoy performing in front of predominantly white crowds. She had a whole slew of other statements about white fans and since deleted tweets that hit a little harder than that, but she just came out and told her predominantly white fan base that it made her uncomfortable to perform into these crowds, and other statements including that the idea of exploiting black art. And pretty much it was kind of convoluted, and apologies if I don't get the whole message correct word for word, but it sort of that performing in front of white crowds was kind of feeding into like injustice between black and white. I would recommend Googling it just to find the full transcript of the message. And No Name, please note, this is not criminal. Like, No Name did not do the horrible felonies that Slow Tie and R. Kelly did. These are just statements, but they hit a little harder. I cared a lot more. I was way more offended by these said statements because I was in the crosshairs. I was targeted because of it. I felt a sense of betrayal because I had gone to these No Name concerts to enjoy the music, to support one of my favorite artists, and this felt somewhat like a betrayal. But if that's how she feels, so that's what happened. So those comments happened in roughly 2019. Fast forward to this past month, after several years, I believe it was a 5-year layoff from releasing new albums, No Name is back with a brand new album, Sundial. If you are a fan of her previous work, I don't think you'll have too much of a problem enjoying this music. I think it's very, if I'm just listening to the music itself, it's a very wonderfully well-wrapped as well as a well-produced musical album. I considered for a hot minute boycotting the album and not really listening to it. And that boycott lasted all of 12 hours. So instead of listening it at midnight when the album came out, I waited until noon the next day after I'd gotten a full day of sleep, full night of sleep, and turned it on immediately. It's like seeing a movie opening day in the theater. And No Name has some more political takes on this particular record. She's definitely generated a bit of controversy with her J Electronica feature. J Electronica is very into Nation of Islam and said some very vaguely anti-Semitic quotes on this particular record, which is kind of unfortunately on brand for him a little bit. I will say I do think she has a little bit more of, she does elucidate, I don't even know if that's the right word, she does expand on her comments on white fans, and I do think I can see a little bit more of her perspective. She essentially argues that she's rapping about her particular pain, her black pain, and white fans are kind of, she basically can't tell if the love is genuine or just because white people like a sad song. She can't tell if fans at a show are cheering her just because they care about her or because they care about her music. And I can see the logic behind that. I'm personally not in her shoes, so she's feeling however she feels. Where I struggle to feel the logic is in this particular clip, which I'm about to play, where she talks about the NFL, and she talks about the NFL and specifically Rihanna performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, and she has a take that I haven't heard before. So let's play the clip.
Reading between the line at the crime scene, I ain't fucking with the NFL or Jay-Z. Propaganda for the military complex, the same gun that shot Lil Terry out west, the same gun that shot Samir in the West Bank. We all think the Super Bowl is the best thing. Go Rihanna, go, watch the fighter jet fly high. War Machine gets glamorized, we play the game, do pass the time. Go Beyonce, go, watch the fighter jet fly high. War Machine gets glamorized, we play the game, do pass the time. Go Kendrick, go, watch the fighter jet fly high. War Machine gets glamorized, we play the game. Pass the time, go, No Name, go. Coachella stage got sanitized. I said I wouldn't perform for them, and somehow I still fell in line. Fuck, I never need No Name.
So your first reaction might be, oh wow, No Name is taking shots at Rihanna, Beyonce, Kendrick Lamar, Jay-Z, the NFL. She does kind of point out a little bit of hypocrisy for herself at the end, just saying that she performed at Coachella's stage for money, even though it didn't quite meet what she wanted. But the more I kind of dig into it, what she's saying is she makes a connection I don't totally understand or agree with. And she's basically saying that the NFL, with its jet flyovers before the game, is a endorsement propaganda, is basically there to promote the military industrial complex. And I think there's a million things you can dump on the NFL for that you can criticize and fairly criticize the NFL for. And I think the military industrial complex for the flyovers would probably be like number 15 on the list. So I don't quite see the through line as to why like we need to condemn Rihanna for playing at the Super Bowl. I don't know if it's that deep. But regardless of what I think of No Name's politics, I do think one really interesting thing that you can get from this particular clip is I think No Name has some interesting things to say about separating art from artists. She's almost arguing in the reverse, saying that what you listen to, what you consume, really affects the artist and has these ultra macro downstream effects on society. I would liken it to saying like, if you buy from Nike, you're going for, you're supporting sweatshop labor, or like how some people feel about if you eat at Chick-fil-A and stuff like that. And while I've been kind of, I've always felt that the question is whether we should separate art from artists, and I'm generally pretty cool with separating art from artists. And I really do not agree with most of No Name's politics. I do think it's pretty interesting, her case, that what you do has a little bit of it's not an absolute. It's what you do, although she has a very like absolutist mentality of it, it is interesting seeing like the absolute opposite side of the spectrum, that what you do and what you consume and what you listen to should have these macro downstream effects. After all, while there are a ton of artists who have done really unseemly things where you have to have this question of separating art from artists, you can build a really amazing music library out of artists who haven't done felonies and horrible things. It requires a little bit more work on your part, but you can, if you were to cancel all the bad artists, like there would still be artists left to listen to, and plenty of artists that make good music who don't have this particular baggage. So to conclude, I'm going to conclude with my personal thoughts on the matter. Generally, on the spectrum of like whether you should be allowed to separate art from artists, I'm generally in a pretty hard yes in that spectrum. I think you're allowed to like what you like. I think music is very personal, and I don't really care what you listen to, and I don't think you should necessarily care what I listen to, except you should listen to it because it's the best music and I have the best music takes, and that's why we have this podcast, obviously. That's besides the point. But I do think that No Name has a little bit of a point in that there are our individual actions add up. Our individual actions have consequences, and while if we all don't throw away our trash, the environment's going to get really bad. So it's very case by case. I think that it's a personal choice on whether or not you enjoy it. I don't personally care, but I can see kind of both sides of the debate. What's funny is that it seems to be this weird, inconsistent mental formula that we each have based on like how much we actually like the music, subtracting like how bad it is, what they actually did. But I think that's up to you. But just try to be informed, I guess. And those are my thoughts. This is our record shortest episode on the Reclassico podcast. I thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed this, I encourage you to check out other episodes on feed and let me know. And always happy to listen to show suggestions and things like that. But without further ado, I'm going to beatbox an outro and hope you have a great rest of your day. The end.